He was born in Ontario in 1872, and John McCrae became a doctor who practiced medicine in Montreal. He taught pathology at McGill University. And on the 4th of August in 1914, when Britain declared war on Germany, Dr. McCrae was actually going to England on a holiday for a much-needed rest. But of course, once he got there, his holiday was turned upside down. He enlisted at the age of 41, came back to Canada where he trained, and then he was deployed as a Lieutenant Colonel, John McCrae. He treated soldiers who had been wounded at the Second Battle of Ypres in Belgium, which raged from the 22nd of April to the 25th of May in 1915. This was the first battle in history where poison gas was used as a weapon, and it resulted in lung damage and death. For Dr. McCrae, who already suffered from asthma, this exasperated his asthma and made it all the more challenging for him. Nevertheless, in spite of this, he continued to tend soldiers at a dressing station near Ypres. And what he was working in was a bunker with a dirt floor, and the only light provided for him were lanterns at the doorway. One soldier's death particularly affected Dr. McCrae. It was Lieutenant Alex Hanum Helmer. He was 22 years old. He had been a civil engineer, having just graduated from McGill University, where he and John McCrae had both studied. And although they did not know one another in Montreal, when they came to Belgium, they met up there and they became very good friends. On the morning of the 2nd of May, 1915, Helmer was killed when a German shell exploded at his feet. As the officer present, Dr. McCrae officiated at Helmer's graveside service, and a wooden cross was put there to mark the burial place. It was the next morning, on the 3rd of May, 1915, that Dr. McCrae wrote the most famous war poem in Flanders Field. Well, there are different accounts as to exactly how and where McCrae wrote these 15 lines. Was it on an ambulance step inside a dressing station? They have become not as important as this poem's enduring legacy. Indeed, this past week, I've heard two classes of grade 2 children recite this poem. And this poem has been said year after year after year by millions and millions of people. In this horrific setting that I have just described for you now, there were hastily built cemeteries alongside the battlefields, and remarkably, red poppies sprang up in the bombarded soil. Birds sang despite the deafening sounds of war. 600,000 people died in the First World War in Belgium. 550,000 died in West Flanders. There are at least 300,000 soldiers buried there. 200,000 were considered missing. More than 1.5 million were injured in the five battles in Belgium from 1914 to 1918. As we gather on this Remembrance Day, I want to highlight the third stanza of this most famous war poem. Take up our quarrel against the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep where poppies grow in Flanders fields. In these few lines, Dr. McCrae called upon the living to join the war effort so that Helmer and millions of other soldiers in the First World War and other wars would not have died in vain. But for us who are here today, how do we continue, in the words of this poem, to hold high the torch and to take up our quarrel against the foe? Well, it begins with one, to do exactly what we're doing today. We can never stop this remembrance. Peace is profoundly fragile, and as we've seen in the Middle East in the last month, it can be so easily shattered. How fortunate we are that in Canada, we have not seen a war on our soil since the War of 1812. That's something that we should never, ever take for granted. Yes, of course, we have been involved in many conflicts, but those conflicts have not happened on the soil of our country. We want to truly honor and give thanks for all of those who have served, who continue to serve in the Canadian military, and also just be aware of the times in which we live, all of those who in Ukraine, all of those in Israel, Palestine, those places where there is such unsettled war and conflict. And then, of course, we want to hear the scriptures. The scriptures that speak to us today. A minute before, at the beginning of the Mass, I misquoted today's gospel. Jesus doesn't call us peacekeepers. He calls us to be peacemakers. And those who are peacemakers are sons and daughters of God. Why? Because their very life is seeking to represent the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is the kingdom of peace. And whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying for peace from heaven to come to earth. How appropriate that we have these readings from the Gospel and from St. Paul today. How challenging it is to hear these readings, though, because for us in this world, it is so easy for us to be directed in a way that is contrary to what St. Paul exhorts us to. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Is this what our news represents? Is this what social media represents? Often it doesn't. And often I know in my own life, I can be sort of sucked into the vortex of negativity. And it leads to discouragement. It can sometimes, even in my heart, lead to despair. And yet we're not called to be people of discouragement. We're not called to be people of despair. We're called to learn to set our minds on his kingdom and on his purposes. And so in our lives, that finds expression in the very places where we live. For as the poem says, we do have a foe, and it's not a physical foe. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the enemy without, the flesh is the enemy within, and the devil is the enemy above. And we all have to recognize in our lives that we face this threefold challenge daily. And yet, as we turn to Christ, as we seek to say, Lord, I want to be converted. I want my heart and my mind to be conformed to what the Apostle St. Paul teaches. I want to be a person of the Beatitudes. Then we hopefully can, within the context of our families, within our church community, with those places where we live, be those who seek to exercise peace. How appropriate it is that after Jesus is present on the altar in his Eucharist, the very next thing we do is we exchange his resurrected peace with one another. And so on this Remembrance Day, may we understand how precarious life is. Dr. McCrae was going on a holiday to England, not knowing that his life would change forever. Never take our life for granted. Never take peace for granted. And always, always be thankful. I conclude with these words. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard among the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with we who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May the souls of our war dead rest in peace. Amen.